Yeah. So anyway, the idea, the incredible concept here is that one, first and foremost, did everyone follow the interaction? Yeah? So in short, the gentleman from whose name Rappaport that had that heart attack, and when he had the heart attack, he saw the figure, he saw that which was the rabbi upstairs. Why did he see him? In essence, according to the story, is that because 30 years previous, that rabbi, which his name was Ben Sion, was a soldier under him. He was a young commander, and he was his soldier. And that soldier's tank got hit by a Syrian mortar. It blew up, and that Rappaport, the commander, ran to pull the soldiers out of the tank, and he saved Ben Sion's life. He basically saved his life, because otherwise he would have been burnt up alive in the tank. So he pulled him out, and that was the same figure. That was in essence the person that he saw upstairs that was giving his defense in the world upstairs, right? So that was the interaction. And then of course when he came down, he saw the face, and he didn't see the face of the young soldier that he saved when he was 19 years old. He saw the person that he saved when he was in his early 50s, right? And that's the person he said, you know, that's the face I saw. You know, you're the person I saw upstairs talking and giving my defense. And in essence, I want to know, what is this tikkun? What does this mean to fix myself? What does it mean to fix myself? Yeah? Everyone with me? So what does it mean? First of all, what does it mean? What does he mean by tikkun?
Correction, fresh start.
What does it mean by correction, fresh start? Correction usually means that a person did something wrong, right?
Yeah.
Now, a tikkun does not necessarily mean, in this concept, obviously it does mean to correct whatever you did wrong, but it doesn't necessarily mean doing something wrong. It is also an essence of fixing, but not necessarily fixing because you did something wrong, but in essence a fixing of a responsibility of an individual. What do I mean? What's that? Fulfillment of purpose, yeah. So the way that our sages bring it, describe it, is the following. It says that if a person looks at three things, they are secure not to come to what's called avera. Avera, I'll say, I don't want to say, it says sin. But it's not the type of sin that we're just talking about in the English language. It means not to come into aspects of life that will trap you. Aspects of life that will take you away from this world. Aspects of life that will, in essence, take you away from your purpose. Right? And there's three things that a person has to know. And the amazing part is really something that the Chafetz Chaim, one of the great sages of the previous generation, that is known as like one of the biggest of the previous generation, his name was again the Chafetz Chaim. And he was around, he passed away in 1933. And what he said was, in a generation, and he was talking about his generation, how much more in our generation, that in a generation where you see, when a generation when you see that there is a low level of understanding of the spiritual world and Hashem, so Hashem has to bring out certain things in the world to kind of remind us that, hey, you know, I'm still here. To kind of remind the world that, hey, you know, there is a way to reveal and find Hashem. Right? And what do I mean? So watch these three things that the sages said. Imagine these three things 300-400 years ago. It would be impossible almost to imagine. What are they? It says that there are three things that Hashem constantly has upon us and in this world to make sure that we don't come upon things that take us away from our purpose and our goals. And in essence, take us away from the tikkun that we're supposed to bring into this world. So what are those three things? It says, the eye that sees, meaning what? The eye that consistently, always, is able to see your actions. It's not that something that, you know, okay, you know, your eye that sees, your eye's vision, but, you know, you go to sleep, the eye's not on all the time. No, what does it mean, the eye that sees? It sees 24/7, every single moment, and not only sees, the eye that sees, in essence, of vision, but it also sees what? Says one of our deep commentators, the Maharal, the vision is vision. Vision is seeing the entire aspect of it. It's not just seeing in the essence of seeing it like a picture with no voice, right? It's essence seeing the whole picture of everything, which means also understanding the internal nature of it and understanding every moment what's happening in that moment. All right. So that's one. Two is the ear that hears. Everything that is able to be registered in the aspect of voice. And three, all of your deeds are written. Everything is written down. Everything is cited. Everything is stated in a book. Everything. And in essence, it makes a imprint. It makes an imprint. So those three things, if you're careful to understand these three things that is constantly around us, it says you will not forget your purpose. In essence, you won't come to quote-unquote sin, but it's more than not sinning. It's the aspect of you will be attentive and understanding and not get lost in your purpose and not get lost in not fulfilling your tikkun. So let's try to understand these three things. Trying to understand these three things. In these three things, if you were to rewind the clock 300-400 years ago, you would say it's an impossible imagination. Right? It's an impossible imagination. How can the eye that sees everything, that sees the full picture and is there 24/7, where is there such a thing in this world? 300-400 years ago, is there such a thing?
100 years ago,
right? Even 100 years ago, there's no. Even 50 years ago, there's not really such thing. Only when? I'll put it at. Excuse me for the dating myself and probably putting a bad analogy on this. But I immediately thought of the first reality TV show, MTV, The Real World.
Wow.
Right? vintage year 1996, I think, right?
Is it favorite show?
Right? I hated that show. But, you know, it says, you know, you watch, you know, even before, you know, digital cameras and everything, you put it everywhere. You actually, you know, today I'm sure they have even more wild things that I don't want to know about, right? The idea is, though, that, like, you're constantly on camera. The vision is there. And not only your vision is what? While the event is happening, what do? They would interview they would interview the person while the event is transpiring. They put pause and they would tell you what the person's actually thinking as they're arguing, right? They're arguing with the person. Why you did that? You took over my boyfriend and you did this, right? Whatever it is, the garbage that they're talking about, right? And they press pause and they go back to the girl and as she's talking about the situation, yeah, I couldn't believe that she did that to me and was talking to my man and right, whatever it is. And all that nonsense that they're talking about there. But they're having a pause and telling you what she's thinking while she's in the moment of the argument, right? It's in a pretty incredible thing if you think about it. It's like telling you while she's arguing what's in her brain as she's arguing with the other person. That's the vision that sees. That's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is telling us. Hashem is telling us that's the analogy to us right now to understand what that means. So when we're in the moment of wherever we are in life, understand that vision is being seen. That's being seen now, live. What your thoughts are, as you're doing it, as it's happening, as it's transpiring. All those things are being seen. What is the vision? What is the ear that hears? What is that? Such a critical lesson to us today. I'm sure you've said this to yourself before. It's an unbelievable thing that the Maharal answers. He says like this, what does it mean to hear something? It means that it's affected in understanding and processing, right? So it's heard. It's listened to. You're listened to. Such a powerful idea for us today. I'm sure many people have thought of this. Like, come on, really? Like, if there's a God out there, which, yeah, okay, there is. So, does he really care about, like, little old me? Doesn't he have, like, bigger things? Like, I'm sure he's got bigger things to deal with. Like, that's, like, the whole world. Like, billions of people, right? And then he's going to care about little old me? I mean, I'm sure people have had this question, like, come on, there's, like, so many people in the world, and he really cares about 0.01% of the population, like us, the Jewish people, right? And how much more so he's going to care about, like, me, one person of that 0.01% of the population? What am I, like 0.00000001% of the population? Right? I'm literally a sand molecule, like that grain granule. Right, if you take one granule on the table here, that's who I am to the entire world. Like, really, Hashem really cares about one granule? Like, come on. It's not a big deal. So I'm sure he's not paying attention to me. Or listening, right? Wrong. That's such a powerful message. That, yes, that one granule makes up the whole world. And it's such a powerful lesson to us to understand. You are special. You make a difference. You are, in essence, listened to by the creator of the universe. And your effect is a real effect. And that's, in essence, the lesson that actually Rappaport was kind of being told to, where he was trying to figure out, like, what's my tikkun? What am I here? What does that mean? What is your tikkun? They told him, you have a tikkun, which obviously we know from our sources. We know that's the purpose. That's what you're here for. So he didn't know that, obviously, because he didn't grow up in that environment and didn't know. But he's searching, what is my tikkun? In essence, what does that mean? He has a place in this world. He has a role. He has a purpose. And it's being heard. That one granule is not one granule in essence. You're massive. You have a major, massive effect in this world. And it's such a powerful lesson for us in our generation, because so many people think, like, oh, you know, like, who am I? What am I? What am I really worth? What do I really matter in this world? Like, you know, I'm nothing. I, I, I don't really have high self-esteem for myself. Which, by the way, this is in essence, as a side point, but this is in essence an answer to all self-esteem issues. If a person really understands that I have a purpose, I have a goal, that the world rests upon me, that the creator of the universe cares about me and wants me to succeed, and I have a purpose that he set out for me, what greater self-esteem is there? What a greater self-esteem can a person have? Like, wow, I matter to the creator of the universe, and I have a purpose, and I have a role to fill, and I got to do it? That's a massive pick-me-up. So who cares if I just got dumped by some guy over there or someone said a nasty thing to me? Like, who cares? Who cares about, you know, like, whatever? It doesn't make a difference compared to what my purpose, what my goal is, and what the creator of the universe put me in this world for. So that's what it means by the imprint listens, that you're being listened to. And the final one, which is also the kind of the spookiest, which is that all your deeds are written. Everything is written. Now, have you heard on this concept on Rosh Hashanah? Concept of Rosh Hashanah, it says that the books of life are open. Books of life and death are open. Everyone heard this concept? If not, you know, that's it. That's what it means. The books of life are open. What is written in those books? What's written in it?
Your deeds.
Whatever has happened.
It's more than just your deeds or what happened.
Yeah,
it's
will
in
happen.
Essence, listen what it says. It's not even what will happen. It's a creation of the form of who you are. It literally is. It says that as you are creating your actions in this world, you are in essence. What does it mean to write? When you're writing something,
you're creating.
Says the Maharal, when you're writing something, you're putting an imprint into the book, right? Forget about digital, right? There's no actual imprints, right? But when you're writing in a book, what are you doing when you're writing? You take a pen, you know, old school,
creating.
You know, back when you were like 5 years old, you used to have to like write and something. No, anyway, when you had to write in a book, when you're writing in a book, what actually happens? You're making an imprint, indent into it. So yes, you have the ink, but if you erase the ink, would you still be able to see what it's written?
Yes.
Yes. So in essence, you're making the imprint of who you are. So by your actions in life, what does it mean it's written? You're creating your essence of who you are in a spiritual form. So that is the imprint that you're leaving. So what does it mean the books of life or death are open? It means the book and the imprint that you've created that year. And as it's put together, it's the sum total of who you are. It's the sum total of your spiritual worth and of what your level you've accomplished. So, in essence, what is that tikkun? What are you here for? It's so difficult sometimes to realize that, you know, we wake up and we go throughout our day and we try to, like, you know, you kind of get into this rut. You get into this, like, normal kind of schedule that you just get up and you go to work and you eat. Maybe you exercise and then maybe watch TV, maybe watch a movie. Maybe talk on the phone, maybe go on Facebook or Instagram and start up the day the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And then you start losing purpose of what you're here and what the purpose and what the goal is. Until you get an awakening. And hopefully the awakening is a positive. And not a negative one, like like Rappaport suffered. Hopefully it doesn't get to that level of, you know, you get a shock to your life or have to, God forbid, be awakened to that purpose and what that goal is. The goal and the purpose of you to be in this world is for you to awaken and realize, I am here for a tikkun. I am here to find out my purpose. I am here to find out what I need to accomplish myself in becoming the greatest person that I can become. And in essence, everyone has it. Everyone has that role. Everyone has that purpose. You cannot run away from it. It cannot be denied. God forbid a person goes through his life and neglects it. But if you look at the world, if you look at most of the world, it's sad to say that that's exactly what's happening. And that is the truth. So it doesn't always have to be such massive things, by the way. It doesn't have to be, you know, I'm going to change and solve, I'm going to solve the cancer. I'm going to find a cure for cancer. Okay, great. If it's in your abilities and you're able to do it, amazing. Do it. But it's always and built on even the small little things. I'll give you an example from a personal situation that actually happened to me, I think, even a couple days ago. I think it's a real case, and it's a true faith, and this is maybe I can build on what it means by even on the small things. So we're at a kosher restaurant for one of, I think, Daniele's birthday. We went to this place called Psy. I don't even know the name of it, right? Right? What is it?
P.S.
Weiberg. P.S. Weiberg. Has very good burgers, whatever it is. So we went for Daniel's. We don't go out so much for it. No, it's here. It's in. No, the one in Pico.
I was one there.
So I'm starving. I didn't eat the whole day. I actually, what? No, God forbid. Then I would really need a big tikkun. Then that would be a massive tikkun. So anyway, the kids ordered what they ordered. They got one thing. I got one thing, and of course, what usually happens is, they like what I like and they hate what they got, right? So right at that moment is the challenge. There's a challenge. I'm starving. I'm thinking, come on, you're gonna take my food. and I lost. I lost. I actually ate mine, and I thought about it. I was like, you know what? What did I just do? Really? You know, okay, you're hungry and you didn't eat anything all day. But what did you just do? You know, I was embarrassed. I was actually embarrassed. I'm embarrassed and saying, like, you know, here's my son. I love him. Of course I want to give it to him. Of course I want to give him the thing.
Apparently not.
not in the moment.
Shots fired.
Not in the moment. Apparently not. Not in the moment. But after the moment came and I said, you know, like, I was embarrassed. Obviously, I bought him whatever. We bought him that extra food that he wanted to eat. But I gotta say, you know, it's that moment of realization. What does it mean? And what does it mean on the very small level? Again, we're talking about a small level. He didn't even notice it. It didn't even come to him. I just bought him whatever he wanted, and he was happy, and we moved on. But I failed on my personal little small battle. He didn't notice. It didn't make a difference in our relationship, but I failed internally. Where did the failure come from? Because the analysis of immediate. What does it mean that I won't come to? Because the way the Maharal describes it, it says that you won't come to the essence of transgression or forgetting your purpose. What does it mean you won't come to? It should just say you're not going to perform sin, right? You're not going to forget your purpose. It doesn't mean you won't come to it. What does it mean you'll come to it? Because coming to it is what is preventing you from fulfilling your purpose. Is it because you on a daily purpose, on a daily basis, you lose sight? Yes, it is. Why? Where's that coming from? Is it because we don't want to fulfill our purpose? Is it because we don't want to accomplish what we're put in this world? Is it because we don't want to fulfill our innate potential that's inside of us? Is that the reason? No, of course not. Every single one of us want to become great. Every single one of us want to fulfill our potential. So what's the reason we don't? One reason only.
Pain.
It's internal, that which is fighting against us. The idea of being comfortable. The idea of our natural instincts that just says to us, you know, relax, be in the moment, be in your world. Don't change, don't grow, don't become better. Because it's scary. It's fear, it's that comfort. Don't grow, don't push yourself, don't go out of your comfort zone. Or in essence, your natural instinct, I'm hungry. which I lost to. Because of course in your brain, I'm hungry versus, you know, my child that I love and care about and want to take care of first. You know, of course I want to take care of him first. And worry about me next. But internally what happened? I lost to that instinct. And so many times we lose to that instinct. The instinct that says be comfortable. The instinct says don't grow. The instinct that says, no, you're hungry. Take care of your first. Again, very clearly, we're here for a purpose. That purpose is clear. You're here to improve yourself and make what's called a tikkun. Every single one of us can find it. You know, when Rappaport's asking, what's my tikkun? What's my tikkun? I'm sorry, the rabbi can't answer. You see the rabbi didn't answer, right? You see that he didn't all of a sudden say, you know, oh, here, and this. He also obviously told them, yes, there's a life that you're not exposed to called Torah and mitzvot, that you have to get on that path for sure, because that's your connection to Hashem. But as far as his personal tikkun, that's internal. That you know what your challenges are. That you know what you've been put in through this world, and now you know what you need to accomplish. Every single one of you have a different path from the person sitting next to you, and certainly from the person out in the world. It's called your own personal journey. You have to pave it. That path is paved by you. But of course, it has to be in the context of a life of real connection to Hashem. And connection to Torah and mitzvot. Not because it's the commandments. It's because that's the path that leads us on finding our purpose and our goals. So let's, hopefully we can wake up with a nice talk, a good video, and realizing our purpose. Hopefully it doesn't have to lead to some kind of other actions in our life that wakes us up. And remember the three things that are real. One is that the eye that sees, that means Hashem sees all of our actions internally, our thoughts, what we thought about before we made the action, everything is in there. Number two, the ear that hears means very clearly you are a speck, you are a granule in the sand of the entire world, but That doesn't mean your value is that. Your value is so incredibly important. You are a gem. You are a diamond. You are someone that is incredibly valued by the creator of this universe. You cannot forget that. It has to be remembered every single day. You cannot get down on yourself because, oh, who cares about my life anyway? And I don't really mean anything. And what does it all matter for anyway? I don't really make a difference. Yes, you do. That's a lie. You cannot listen to that. You are incredibly important and valued, and you have a purpose and a goal that's set for you. You need to accomplish it, and you are incredibly valued and precious to the creator of the universe. And lastly, don't forget, you're building who you are now. You're creating that picture of what you are eternally. That structure that you're forming, is that structure is based on the imprint that you're now sketching, in essence, is who you will be eternally. These are all massive concepts. But it's all ones that we see that somehow in wild, you know, I don't know if you were impressed by that video. Maybe the quality of the video is pretty bad. It's from 2009. But the concept itself is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. But it should also be very inspirational. On the one hand, yes, we have a tremendous responsibility. On the other hand, we're incredibly precious. Now go accomplish. And be able to make that path in your own life. Create that tikkun. Find that tikkun in your own life. Thanks for coming. Any questions?